Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 12 lines from the top of Daf Mem Tes. You will notice a triangle, Boi Rav Papa. This is a continuing series of questions regarding the Chafina and Kemitza as we have already introduced in the past. So, with that in mind, Boi Rav Papa, Chofan Chaveroi, Venosan Lusoich Chafonov Mahu. Kohen, a person in the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash, takes the chafina, the double hands full of incense, and places it in the hands of the Kohen Gadol. Is that acceptable? There is a Tosfos that raises a question on this question. Across from here, you have Dibur Masel Boi Rav Papa Chofan Chavero Venosan Lasoch Chafon of Mahu. Malo chafon of boinon v'chulei, temo li. Tosfos says there is a question here. Ha ibaya leili eo kvar, ki hai gavna. Have we not raised this question already earlier? Gabi bein habinaim, regarding the issue of the incense that is found between his fingers. And that was a sugi that we discussed already, where you have ketores, or incense material, that wasn't necessarily on his mind when it got into that area between the fingers. In other words, he didn't do a chafino action regarding that. It just accumulated between his fingers. And so to over here, someone else did the actual gathering action. So it would seem to be the same situation. So Tosfos points out, V'yesh lomar, be'intim tzalong ma'ko'omar, that the structure of this Gemara is a build-up structure based on the previous question. Namely, intim tzalomar bein habenayim loy, delo kori bei velokach behevi, if you conclude regarding the incense that accumulated between the fingers as not being legitimate, because it's not something that he had intent when he gathered it in his hands full, so there is lacking a fulfillment of velokach. Vehevi velokach means to take it with kavona and then to bring it into the Kodesh HaKodoshim, or eventually into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Kevon delo osi mikoyach gavro, since in that case it accumulated without his actual force, he didn't put it in the area between his fingers. Rather, it fell into that area, if you will, that when he was gathering the chafino, since there were spaces between his fingers, so the incense accumulated in that area. But it wasn't something that he did with his own force. Hochomai, what about over here with regard to chofan chavero? And Tosfos points out the two sides of the question. Mi amrino, do we say afagav delav ihu chofan, even though he himself didn't do the actual gathering in his hands full, the kohen himself didn't do the actual gathering, mikomokom kevon demikoyach gavro kaosi shap yedomi, since nevertheless that since it was gathered by a person, that was the first person that did the initial gathering in his hands full, that is enough. V'shapir karinon bei v'lokach, and with that we can fulfill what the pasuk says, and he shall take the halokeach, v'lokach halokeach, mi shehu, whoever it is, v'yosim b'chafon of shel kohen gadol, and then he transfers it to the hands full of the kohen gadol, v'hoder nayel hu, and then he will bring it in, the kohen gadol will bring it into the kodesh hakodashim, v'kori bei melo chafon of v'hevi, and we fulfill that part of the pasuk also, a hands full and bringing it in. Oidilma, or maybe velokach vehevi boinan shalokeach yovi. Maybe what we require is that the one who takes the chafina initially is the one that has that brings it in, and if someone else does the initial taking of the chafina, the initial gathering in his hands full, so I don't fulfill the pasuk that expects one person to do both the initial gathering and the bringing in. So those are the two sides of this question, even though we dealt already with what might appear to be a similar issue, namely the Bein HaBeinayim question from the previous shiur. So now we turn back to our Gemara. Boy, Rav Papa, Chofan, Chavero, V'nosan, L'so, Chafon of Mahu. Someone else did the initial gathering of incense in his hands full, and then transferred it to the Kohen Gadol's hands full. Lo chafonav bo'inon v'ho'ika is all that's required, that there is a quantity that is a full hands full. And that is fulfilled over here. The Kohen Gadol has a full hands full, even though he didn't do the initial gathering. Oidilma v'lokach v'hevi bo'inan v'holeko. Or maybe, as we saw in the Tosfos, maybe it is required that the one who does the initial gathering is the same person that does the bringing in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that would be lacking in this case. Teku. So the issue remains unresolved. And now we are on the threshold of an amazing structure that you'll find in this sugya, something that is very, very rare in terms of our Gemara markings system. We have a new question that's reflected by the dashed triangle, though we've seen that before because we pointed out the regular triangles highlight Rav Papa's questions. The majority of the questions in this series have been courtesy of Rav Papa. Here we have a non-Rav Papa question. It's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asks the question. And if you scan ahead, you will notice a plethora of brackets of all different kinds. We vary the different shapes of the brackets so that you can distinguish one from the other. And it's not a very long piece of Gemara, but first, let's read the question. Boy, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chofan u'meis. The Kohen Gadol did the taking of the hands full of Torahs, and then he died. Mahu shikones acher b'chafinoso. Can the replacement Kohen, replacement Kohen Gadol, use that hands full that the first gentleman took and bring it into the Beis Hamikdash? Technically speaking, the first Kohen Gadol takes a hands full and then transfers it to a kaf. Kaf is a vessel, a receptacle, with which he will carry the Torahs into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The question is, can the replacement Kohen Gadol just pick up where things were left and take that kaf of Torahs that was gathered by the first Kohen Gadol, or must the process start all over again, where the replacement Kohen Gadol takes into the takes a handful of Ketores from the initial Ketores supply? In other words, start all over again. You'll ask, why are there so many brackets in this Gemara? So, Gemara markings, the system that you are currently using and whose shiur you are listening to, attempts to create a smooth structure of Gemara reading. What happens when you have a Gemara itself that doesn't read smoothly because of the fact that there are a lot of interruptions where a major point is started, and before the point can be developed, an interruption happens, and the main point is restored only a number of lines later. Well, in order to circumvent that problem, to solve that difficulty, we use brackets to set off the interruption or that which upsets the easiest flow of Gemara, enabling the one who's reading the Gemara to skip that section and maintain some sense of fluency and consistency. The problem that this sugya presents is that at every junction before an idea can be developed, there seems to be some interruption. So this happens again and again within these lines of Gemara. So on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivne, a structural note, and we note here lefonenu sugya she'oshir b'shimush asogram. In front of us, we have a sugya that is rich in the use of brackets. Kedei lehokel, in order to make things a little bit easier, hechanu taktsir tamluli kedei lishmor al retzef hachashiva. We've prepared a concise verbal presentation of the Gemara to make the continuity of thought easier. Pu'ulo shi matras hasugam. This is our goal in the use of the brackets. So the double star in the Gemara is associated with this double star that you see on the side, where a question is asked. Mahu shi kones acher b'chafino. So we read this question already. Can someone else, namely the replacement Kohen Gadol, use the original chafino taken by the first Kohen Gadol, who in the meantime died? So where is the answer to that question? So you'll notice you have the longest of the brackets. The longest of these brackets, you can use the bracket length indicator, is an angular type bracket, and you can see that length indicator, in this case, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You notice the angular type bracket. You skim all the way down to the second to last of the narrow lines, Omar Rav Papa. So the Rav Papa answers that question. And in our abbreviation here on the side of the Gemara, we have the Tuf, which is an abbreviation of a Teretz, Amar Rav Papa I Chofein. So what the note says is that in order to see the answer after having read the question, namely, Mao Shikones Acher B'chafino, so that which we already read, you skip all the way down, Amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa answers, well, the answer to Rabbi Shimon Levi's question depends. I choifein choser v'chofein chavero nichnas b'chafinoso tomekaimo chafino iain choifein choser v'chofein tiboy aloch. So Rav Papa gives an answer, and he says, well, it depends. Well, Rav Papa, you should note, is the first of two answers. He is labeled as number one. Rav Huna, Brevi Yeshua, on the first of the widest lines there, under the Tosfos text, there number two, Rav Huna, Brevi Yeshua, has his approach to the question. So let's try to make things clear. When we're learning this sugya in Gemara markings, our job is not just to read through the Gemara line by line. That anyone can do. What we're trying to do is to show how each section of the Gemara, how there a point is made, and how you can see the continuation of the point. In this case, a question is asked, where is the answer to the question? So as we said, after reading the boy, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, where the dashed triangle appeared, it's a two-line question, the answer appears there, the end of the narrow line, second to last narrow line. Rav Papa represents approach number one, and Rav Huna, Brevi Yeshua, represents approach number two. Okay, that's the superstructure. That having been said, we understand the question. Kohen Gadol took the chafina, and then he died. Can the replacement Kohen Gadol bring that in? So, as we said, the answer is, and we will read the first stage of the answer again and with an explanation. Amar Rav Papa, we skip to the second to last narrow line. Rav Papa says, it depends. I choifein choizer v'choifein. If after the initial handsful of incense is taken, is gathered in the courtyard, the incense is returned to the Kohen Gadol's hands in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that the Kohen Gadol actually does, in the best circumstances, without anyone dying, he does a chafina in the Azorah, and then he does again a second type of chafina where the incense is poured back into the Kohen Gadol's hands while he is in the inner sanctum in the Holy of Holies. So, chavero nichnas b'chafinaso, the replacement Kohen Gadol can use the first Kohen Gadol's chafina, teho mekaimo chafino, because there will be a fulfillment of the act of chafina, as we just said, because in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the inner sanctum, a chafino needs to be done whereby the incense that was in the kaf, in that receptacle, brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that its contents, its incense contents, is returned into the Kohen Gadol's hands. And since we're dealing with a replacement Kohen Gadol, so he will also be experiencing a chafina, having his hands full of incense. However, if you say, "E ain choifein v'chozer v'chofein," if there isn't a second filling of hands full in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the only hands full taken was done in the courtyard and done by the deceased Kohen Gadol, Tiboy Aloch, then this question will remain a question. Rav Yeshua ben Levi's question will remain, what happens in such a case where only the deceased Kohen Gadol did the chafino and there isn't a second chafino done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? How ma'akev is that? How binding is it that the hands full of the Kohen Gadol that's offering it needs to be accomplished? Eventually, when we get back to this, and when we go through the Gemara, we'll find that Omar Lei Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, the Rav Papa, Rav Huna says to Rav Papa, Adarabba, to the contrary. So we'll see his answer when we get to it later, what his suggestion is. We go back to where we left off with the angular brackets. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked, "Chofanu meis ma'u shikones acher b'chafinoso?" That was his question. Now we go into the first brackets. Omer Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina, upon hearing this question, he reacts. Now here we have to use a brackets to find out what exactly is his reaction. What is his real reaction? So we have the curlicue brackets. Use the bracket length indicator, also to the side, to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. Skim down to where the curlicue brackets ends. And what Rabbi Chanino says, he says, She'elosan, the question of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, K'she'elo shel Rishonim. It reminds me of the question raised by the early ones. We'll see later as a maskona. Now, this isn't going to be apparent immediately in the Gemara itself, but we're using Gemara marking, so we can tell you now that we're going to see later that Rabbi Chanina was an elder sage. And when he heard the younger Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question, he says, "This reminds me of the question that when I was young, I heard from my contemporaries." So, and they, his, Rabbi Hanina's contemporaries, relative to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, were the early ones, were the Rishonim. So Rabbi Chanina is saying that upon hearing Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question, "Oh, his question reminds me, She'elosan, K'she'elo shel Rishonim," is like the question of the early ones, like my colleague's question. They also asked a question like this of Chofanu meis ma'u shikones acher b'chafinosoi. So I hope everyone sees what we just did. And you'll notice you have this triple star marking. If you look at the side of the Gemara where the triple star note appears, we wrote this abbreviated form of Gemara. Notice, what did we write? Amar Rabbi Chanina, She'eloson k'she'elo shel rishonim. So that this note is an abbreviation. It's an abbreviation of Rabbi Chanina's comment. Namely, it's what he actually said, what his final intention was upon hearing Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question. Rabbi Chanina is reacting, describing the question, describing it as k'she'elo shel rishonim. Now we go back to the text and read it straight. Now at this point we're going to then read into the next bracketed section. Oma Rabbi Chanina, bo ure'e she'elas horishonim. See, this is the original version, but it's not the accurate version. Rabbi Chanina says at this point in the Gemara, come and hear the question of the early ones. Who is he reacting to? He's reacting to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, calling Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi at this point in the Gemara, one of the early ones, the Rishonim, the first ones. In other words, you get the impression, as the Gemara says, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is from an earlier generation, earlier than that of Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara asks, and you'll notice this begins a long question. And we have a kuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that shows that the question itself, though the actual text of the question isn't very long, but the Gemara's reaction or in response to the question doesn't come up till the end of this long question marking, the section we already read. So let's continue. Lameimra, is this to suggest, namely Rabbi Chanino's reaction, that she'elos, the question of Rabbi Shimon Levi is she'elos harishonim, lameimra de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi koshish? Does this mean that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is older than Rabbi Chanino? But that's not true. V'ha'omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has been known to say, Li hitir Rabbi Chanina, and there's a continuation in the Gemara, but we're not going to read it right now. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, you know, I got a heter from Rabbi Chanina. The fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is addressing Rabbi Chanina as Rabbi, with the title Rabbi, that shows that Rabbi Chanina is older, from an earlier generation, older than Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Otherwise, if it was his friend, he would have simply said, Li hitir Chanina. Chanina was matir. Matir means to give a legal ruling allowing something. We're not saying what was being allowed right now. So the reaction to Rabbi Chanino's comment that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi represents the Rishonim, the early ones, that's just not accurate. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi referred to Rabbi Chanina as an early one by addressing him or referring to him as Rabbi Chanina. Now you'll notice the quadruple star. If you look at the side of the Gemara, we've presented in a concise form what the actual reading is. V'homa Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, li hiter Rabbi Chanina, mikol mokom shma mino de Rabbi Chanina koshish. Now, what did we just do? Well, if you look in the Gemara where we left off, after we read the beginning of the question, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Lihi to Rabbi Chanina, you skip the next bracketed section, you have this comb-looking bracket, and follow it to the end. Use the bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and it will take you down to the end of the, notice where the end of the comb-looking bracket is? Mikol mokom shma mino de Rabbi Chanina koshish. From Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's comment that li hiter Rabbi Chanina, it comes out that Rabbi Chanina is the older one. So that is the actual text, the heart of the question. The question starting with the words lameimra at the beginning of the long question marking. So the actual question goes till this point, at which, and we're going to read it again at the end of this long question, we had just read Mikol Mokom Shma Minof, and all after all is said and done, we see the Rabbi Chanina Koshish. The Rabbi Chanina was from the older generation. So that we had seen already that Rabbi Chanina had heard Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question of Chofan Umeis. Rabbi Chanina said, well, this is like the question of the early generations. Upon that we asked, why is Rabbi Chanina referring to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as the early generations when we see that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi refers to Rabbi Chanina as from the early generations? Okay, I hope that that's clear. So now we go back to where we had made the last jump at the comb-shaped brackets. So the line there, and here we're getting really off to the side. Notice how we were dealing with Chofan Umeis, the issues of the Kohen Gadol and the Beis HaMikdash and the incense offering, and now we're going to get off the topic into Hilchis Shabbos and the taking of medicine or the preparing of medicines on Shabbos. A seemingly unrelated topic, and it is. It's a side point, but it's part of appreciating the comment made by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that Rabbi Chanina was from the older generation. Namely, that we hitter Rabbi Chanina. Well, what was Rabbi Chanina matir? Well, notice we have another form of obtuse angular brackets. That indicates skip this section and use the bracket length indicator again, in this case on the left hand side of the Gemara text. The way to read this section, and you notice we have this double triangle. If you look at the side of the Gemara, what Rabbi Chanina is going to say is Li hiter Rabbi Chanina lishchok v'lishtois shachlayim b'Shabbos. I got permission for Rabbi Chanina to grind up and then drink this shachlayim beverage for medicinal purposes. But the heter was for grinding up the plant, the shachlayim plant, used as the base of this particular beverage medicine. And now how do you see that in the Gemara? So you see that by using the bracket skipping mechanism that we just did on the side of the Gemara. Do this in the text. So we're at the point of the beginning of the brackets, and just before that, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Li hiter Rabbi Chanina, skip the obtuse angular bracketed section. What was Rabbi Chanina matir? Lishchoik v'lishtois shachlayim b'Shabbos. At this point, the Gemara, if you skip the regular angular type brackets, the 90 degree angular brackets, the Gemara will ask a question on this point. Namely, Rabbi Chanina was turned to for medicinal advice. So you notice we have a triple triangle mark on the side of the Gemara. The next question that you should ask is Umay Shna Rabbi Chanina. And if you skip these angular brackets, you'll see that that's what the next question is. Why did he turn to Rabbi Chanina? Why was he turned to for this medicine question? That will be what follows. So now we go back to the last section that we had skipped because of the brackets, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that Li hita Rabbi Chanina. And now we go into the bracketed section where Rabbi Yeshua tells us what Rabbi Chanina was matir, but it's not going to make halachic sense. It's not going to be the real question. That's why it was important for us to skip to get to what the actual question was, where we had skipped and to the point where there was the dot on the dashed underlined word lishchoik v'lishtois. That was a real question. However, that having been said, we go back to the Gemara text where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says Li hitir Rabbi Chanina. We're back to where the comb-shaped and obtuse angular bracket begins, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that Rabbi Chanina was matir lishtois shachlayim b'Shabbos, to drink the shachlayim beverage. We're not translating the word shachlayim. Rashi gives you a French word for that. But it's something that in your mind's eye, you can just view it as a cup of hot tea that might make you feel better after drinking it if you're suffering from a sore throat on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is telling us that Rabbi Chanina was matir. He gave me a halachic allowance, lishtois shachlayim b'Shabbos. The Gemara says, is that something you needed a heter for? Lishtois, to drink shita. It's obvious that it's allowed. True, there is a problem in Hilchus Shabbos of taking medicines on Shabbos. There's a prohibition of taking medicines unless someone is very ill. Generally speaking, medicine taking is prohibited on Shabbos because if we allow a person to take prepared medicines, he might come to grind the herbs that are used in the making of the medicine initially. And if it's not someone that's very, very ill, there would be a prohibition of grinding plants on Shabbos. So that's as far as standard medicines are concerned. But as far as drinking something that is a beverage anyway, that happens to make you feel good, there's no problem with that. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Lishtois pshita, to drink, that's obviously allowed. Disnan, kola oichlin, oichel, odom, lerefua, all food items that are basically standard food, but it makes you feel good after you eat it, you can eat it for its for the medicinal aspect of that food item. So that if, let us say, for digestive purposes, rice or bananas happens to make you feel better, you can eat rice and bananas on Shabbos, even though it has some medicinal value or therapeutic value to it. V'chol ha-mashkin shoysodem l'refua. And as far as beverage is concerned, a cup of hot tea or a bowl of chicken soup, you can drink that on Shabbos for its medicinal, or as we say, its therapeutic value, without any halachic problem. So what was Rabbi Chanina matir to Rabbi Shua ben Levi? What Rabbi Chanina was matir was he was allowing him to grind the shachlayim plant and then drink the beverage made with that on Shabbos. Okay, there it's not just the function of drinking something that's already prepared from before Shabbos. There's an issue of grinding it. That is not something that's so obviously allowed on Shabbos. But because of the circumstances, Rabbi Chanina allowed it. Now, as far as what are those circumstances, so this is what is discussed in the internal brackets, these angular, right angle type brackets. But that becomes a side point, and that's why it's in brackets. The issue that we were most recently dealing with was, what was Rabbi Chanina matir to Rabbi Shimon Levi? And the answer to that is very simply, lishchoik v'lishtoi shachlayim b'Shabbos. Not just drinking the beverage, but to grind the plant that really needed a heter. Now, at this point, one can skip the brackets and get to the next question of why was Rabbi Chanina the one that Rabbi Shimon Levi turned to? And that's what you see after these angular brackets, Umay Shna Rabbi Chanina. Why was he turned to? And the Gemara will answer there, Mishum Deboki Berfu, so he was an expert in matters of medicine. And the following lines will demonstrate or prove that he was a man of medicinal knowledge. That having been said, let us now turn to the internal angular right angle type brackets. Heichi domi. What are the circumstances that required the question concerning grinding the shachlayim in order to prepare the beverage? Heichi domi. What is it speaking about? E di'iko sakanto. If you're dealing with someone who was deathly ill, Mishra Shari, it's obvious that it's allowed. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wouldn't have been seeking out a halachic ruling on something that's so obvious. The idaleko sakanto, and if there's no issue of danger to life, meser osir, it's clearly prohibited to grind plants on Shabbos. Again, no room, no need for asking a question. The Gemara says, "Li oilom diko sakanta." Really, there was an issue of life-threatening circumstances. V'hachi ka mebayale, and thusly was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question: "Mi masya denechol alayu shabata?" Is this a reliable, a trustworthy, a proven form of medicine? The shachlayim beverage for whatever he was suffering from, is it a proven masya? Means, does it really heal? Now, if it really heals, and you have life-threatening circumstances, so the nechol alayo shabbato, nechol is we can violate Shabbos for its production. Oiloi masya, or maybe it's not a real medicine for this particular ailment, and it's not a real medicine, it doesn't really heal. Velo nechol alayu shabbata, and as such, there wouldn't be the allowance to violate Shabbos for its production, i.e. grinding of the plant. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was turning to Rabbi Hanina more or less in the capacity of a pharmacist slash doctor. The Gemara now asks, Umay shno Rabbi Hanina? Well, why did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi turn to him of all people? Answer, Mishum deboki berefuos hu. He happened to be an expert in medicines. We can refer to him as a pharmacist. The Omar Rabbi Hanina, and here we have an illustration of Rabbi Hanina and his familiarity with ailments and medicines. He says, Me'olam lo sha'alni adam al makas prey de levona v'choya. Now this is going to be the first stage, and we're not using brackets here, even though this piece of Gemara would lend itself, because this is not really what he said. But that's enough for now, as far as telling you this has to be upgraded, and the Gemara will do that. At this point, Rabbi Hanina is quoted as having said that no one ever asked me concerning an injury. A maka is an impact or injury as a result of a preda lavona. Preda is a mule, a white mule, and ever lived from it. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Anyone who's hit by a white mule will die? Anyone who's kicked by a white mule is going to die? We see people after they've been injured through a white mule, they live. Well, what Rabbi Hanina really said is that no one ever asked me about the healing of the injury inflicted by a white mule. V'choyos means the mako, the injury, gets better, because it never got better. The injury always remained as an injury. The Gemara asks, that's also not accurate. V'holko chazinon demitzi. We see people's injuries that had resulted from impact with a white mule, being kicked by a white mule, and the injury got better. The Gemara explains that what Rabbi Hanina was referring to when he said no one ever asked me about the maka of a prey dog and the maka got better is besumkon inhu v'chivron reish karayu, where the animal itself, the mule, was sumkon, literally is red, could be it was a rooty brown red color animal, and the top of its feet, reish karayu, the top of its feet were white. So you have an animal that has, it's a dual-colored animal, a coat of hair that's basically brown, with the top of its legs, the upper part of its legs, being white. That kind of mule, after it inflicts an injury, so the victim, the injury does not get better. So we're reading that phrase again. Besumkan inu v'chivron karayu ko amrinon. Karminon's, regarding that, we have said the lo chayas, that it doesn't get better. The maka doesn't get better. What do we see now after all of this discussion took place? We continue reading. Mikomokom shmamino de Rabbi Chinino Koshish. We see from all of this that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi related to Rabbi Chanina as the elder, namely that Rabbi Chanina is Koshish. If that's the case, so what was meant initially by Rabbi Chanina's reaction to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question when he said originally, Bore Shelos HaRishonim, let's behold the question of the early ones. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was not an early one for Rabbi Chanina. Elohochi ko'omar, but rather, thusly, Rabbi Chanina said to his students, She'elah son, the question of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, K'she'elah shel Rishonim. It's like the question of the early ones. Now, at this point in the Gemara, and this will be changed later, but at this point, Rabbi Chanina is turning to his students upon hearing the question of the younger Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Says, you know, this is the question that I and my colleagues used to ask. Shelos Rishonim at this point is taken to mean that Rabbi Chanina himself had such a question. And that's what you can see in Rashi by looking at the Dibur HaMaschil a little further up from here. Elohochi ko'omar Rabbi Chanina le'talmidov. Rabbi Chanina's reaction to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question was, Bo u're'ei she'elason shel achronim. Notice the question of the later ones, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and his friends, k'she'elasi, like my question, she'ani min harishonim, I'm from the earlier generation, she'afani hoyisi miskasheh, I too had this question. We turn back to the Gemara, and the Gemara questions, did Rabbi Chanina really say that this was his question? In fact, we're going to see that Rabbi Chanina wouldn't have asked this question of Chofan Umeis Mahu Shikone Sacher B'Chafinoso. Can another Kohen, can the replacement Kohen use the original Chafina? You know why Rabbi Chanina would never have asked that question? It was clear to Rabbi Chanina what the din would be. And that's what the Gemara focuses on right now. So let's see the Gemara, and then we'll have to understand why Rabbi Chanina himself would have never asked this question. So let's see the Gemara. Umi Omar Rabbi Chanina Hochi. Would Rabbi Chanina have said thusly that he had a suffek regarding the replacement Kohen Gadol using the Chafina of the earlier Kohen Gadol that just died? The Omar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina, in understanding the Pasuk, there is a Pasuk that's found in Vayikra Perek Tazayin Pasuk Gimel. And this Pasuk is found, we've written it on the side of the Gemara Omid Beis, so you can see it there. It says, Bezois Yovoi Aaron El HaKodesh Befar Ben Bokor Lechatos. The Pasuk says, and Aaron, who represents the Kohen Gadol, will enter the holy sanctum with the par, the cow, Ben Bokor, the cow, as a sin offering. Now, everyone knows that the Kohen Gadol doesn't draw a living cow into the Holy of Holies. So what does the Pasuk mean when it says that the Aaron will go into the Kodesh Bepar Ben Bokor with a cow? So, in general, the term is a reference to the blood of the cow, that the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with the blood of the cow. The cow, that we're talking about is the cow belonging to the Kohen Gadol that afforded him and his family and the fellow Kohanim with atonement. And Rabbi Chanina says, V'omer Rabbi Chanina b'par, par is a reference to the par in the Pasuk, and it means v'lo b'domoi shel par, and not with the blood. What do you mean, not with the blood? He does go in with the blood, but it means not with the blood of a cow that was slaughtered by another Kohen Gadol, i.e. a case where a Kohen Gadol prepared a cow and received its blood, but he died. It's not sufficient, says Rabbi Chanina, for the replacement Kohen Gadol to use the blood of the previous Kohen Gadol's cow. That's what velo bedomoi shelpar. In other words, the blood of the previous Kohen Gadol's cow is not considered as if the cow is still there. You can't pick up with that, but rather you've got to start all over again. So as far as Rabbi Chanina is concerned, if you have a situation that a Kohen Gadol died, let's say after the Chafina, do you know that in the order of events, and you can use this, the chart on the side of the Gemara, to the right-hand side margin, we have something written there, Seder Ho'inyonim. The order of events is Kohen Gadol, number one, Shochat Poro, he slaughters his cow, receives the blood, and the blood, that's what we're focusing on. Then Chofa, then a handful is taken. And now in our scenario, what happened after the handful of incense was taken? Mace. That Kohen Gadol died. What does Rabbi Chanina say? Well, he said, B'par v'lo b'domo shopar. That would mean that the replacement Kohen Gadol has to slaughter, and we have this on our little chart diagram there, Kohen Gadol number 2 has to shochet paro mishalo. He has to slaughter his own cow. He can't use the deceased Kohen Gadol's par blood. And that, we've noted, is biglal hadin, paro v'lo b'domo shopar. He's got to prepare his own par. He can't use the previous Kohen Gadol's cow's blood. Well, we spoke about order, how order is so binding. After the slaughtering of the par, then there must be the chafina. A chafina that took place earlier is unacceptable. You can't switch the order of things. So if the preparation of the par precedes the chafina, and here replacement Kohen Gadol number 2 had to prepare his own par, now and only now must there be a chafina. So there's no option in Rabbi Chanina's mindset, there's no option of his using the chafina of the deceased Kohen Gadol, because the chafina of the deceased Kohen Gadol, the hands full of incense of the deceased Kohen Gadol, preceded the replacement cow. So as far as Rabbi Chanina's conception of things, it's obvious that after Kohen Gadol number 2 prepares his cow, he'll have to do the chafina all over again. Therefore, there's no room in Rabbi Chanina's conception of things to raise the question of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So how in the world could Rabbi Chanina have been impressed with the question of the young Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, when he himself never would have asked that question? So now let's go back to the Gemara text, keeping one finger on the chart, and we read. Would Rabbi Chanina, and as we said, it's the beginning of a question that lasts four lines, and it was, Umiyom Rabbi Chanina Hochi, would Rabbi Chanina, we're reading again, would Rabbi Chanina have said that this is a question that he himself would have asked concerning Chofen Umeis, Mal Shikon Isachar B'Chafinos of Rabbi Chanina? Rabbi Chanina has been known to say B'par V'lo B'domo Shapar, which means that a replacement Kohen Gadol has to start the blood slaughtering of cow all over again. The Amar Rabbi Chanina Keteres Shechofna Kedim Shchita Sapar Lo Asav Lo Klum. A Keteres, the incense handsful that is taken, that is gathered up in his hands before the slaughtering of his cow is of no value. So Reb Chanina, he wouldn't have been referring to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question as a question that he, Rabbi Chanina himself, would have asked. What was he then saying? Hachi ka'omar. Thusly, Rabbi Chanina was pointing out. Midekam baya lei ha, from the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is asking this question of chofanu meis, mao shikones acher b'chafinaso, from the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was asking that question, mechlal dekosavar, that shows us, we can infer from that, that he, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, holds b'par v'afilu b'domo shopar, that as far as the blood of the cow is concerned, in the event that a Kohen Gadol number one, dies after having slaughtered the par, there's no need for the replacement Kohen Gadol to slaughter his own par, but he can use the blood of the first cow, the cow that was done by the deceased Kohen Gadol. Well, now that we've established that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that, it's true Rabbi Chanina doesn't hold from that, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds from that, that there's no need for Kohen Gadol number two to produce his own par. Ulamai desvira lei, according to him on his terms, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi on his terms, she'elaso k'she'elas rishonim. This question of using the chafina of the deceased Kohen Gadol is a good question. It's a question like the early ones would have asked. The early ones, but not that I'm part of those questioners or those seeking an answer, but it is a question that was asked by early generations, earlier scholars, earlier than Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, even though I'm not party to the question, but according to that approach, if you want to accept that premise of par v'afilu b'domo shel par, the question of now can the replacement Kohen Gadol use the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol, and by the way, if he is allowed to use the chafina, so the order is preserved, the original order is preserved, the shechitas par in fact precedes that chafina. So can the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol be used? So that question, says Rabbi Chanina, upon hearing the younger Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi raise the question, says that's like the question of the early ones. Now the Gemara asks, my havi Allah, and here we're getting back to the original question. So what is the din? What is the din regarding the use of the deceased Kohen Gadol's chafina on the part of the replacement Kohen Gadol? Notice the amazing, amazing structure to this Gemara. Here, when the Gemara is asking, my havi Allah, it's simply repeating the original question raised by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi all the way before this bracketed section. So we're about to embark on the answer to the question, but notice what has happened. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi raised a question, and we see that it's a good question. Rabbi Chanina from the older generation heard the younger Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question, and he reacted. He said, wow, that's a great question. That's a question like the others had asked, the earlier ones had asked. True, I didn't ask that question, but earlier ones had asked that. And then we got involved with the question, is it so that Rabbi Chanina is referring to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as he, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, being from the early ones? We know the opposite is the case. And how do we know that the opposite is the case? Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi referred to Rabbi Chanina as Rabbi Chanina, a title of distinction showing that he, Rabbi Chanina, was from the older generations. And how do we, in what context did he, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, refer to Rabbi Chanina as Rabbi Chanina? And then we got off to a real side point about issues concerning medicine on Shabbos, and what exactly was the medicine issue that came up, and that involved the grinding of Shachlaim. Notice we got really off the topic at that point. And now we're getting back to the original question. What an amazing piece of structure. And our hope is that the markings that we have used, even though at first glance it seems extremely complicated, but far be that from the truth. Only with the use of these brackets and all of the skipping and fancy footwork that we have done does the Gemara take on a much clearer appearance. Now, with all that having been said, second to last narrow line of the Gemara, Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, if the rule regarding the chafina is that after the initial handsful is gathered in the temple courtyard, again the handsful of the kohen is filled in the kodesh hakadoshim, that's chozer v'chofin, there's again a second filling of the handsful in the kodesh hakadoshim, if that is what actually takes place, and by the way, after the kohen gadol would fill his handsful of with the incense again, he would then scatter the incense on the coals, creating the aroma of the burning ktores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Well, if there was a second filling of handsful, so then, as far as the question of the replacement Kohen Gadol is concerned, then Chaveru Nichnas B'Chafinoso, the replacement Kohen Gadol number 2, can use the handsful taken by the first Kohen Gadol, Tomekaimo Chafino, because there will be a fulfillment of Chafino, filling of hands, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, E'ein Choyfein V'Chozer V'Chofein, if there isn't a second filling of handsful, but rather the incense is poured directly from the kaf, the receptacle, onto the coals. And then, as far as Chafino is concerned, the only act of Chafino that was done by the deceased Kohen Gadol, then Tiboyaloch, this will be a question that we're not going to be able to answer at this point. In other words, Tiboyaloch means it is a question to be asked. So Rav Pop is saying, if it's obvious to you, if it's clear to you that Choyfein V'Choyzer V'Chofein, we've got an easy answer for you. The replacement Kohen Gadol can use the original Chafina of the deceased Kohen Gadol. However, if Ein Choyfein V'Choyzer V'Chofein, then you've got a question. Omar le Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua l'Rav Papa. Rav Huna says, is that your analysis? Adarabba, to the contrary. E choyfein v'choyzer v'choyfein. If a second chafina is to be done, I will tell you, lo yikone sachar b'chafina so. We can't allow the replacement Kohen Gadol to use the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol. He's a different person, and his body size is different than the first Kohen Gadol's body size. His hand size, his hand capacity is different. And what's the problem? It's impossible to avoid either too little, meaning the replacement Kohen Gadol would have been have a larger hand capacity, handsful capacity, and therefore his handsful is not going to be filled by the quantity taken by the deceased Kohen Gadol, or if he's a smaller individual, v'shelo yosir, there'll be too much, and the original chafino that was taken, is some of it is going to scatter, is going to be lost. V'ein chofein, chozer v'chofein, if you however say there's no need for a second chafino to be done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then tiboya loch, then the question is a question. In other words, can the replacement Kohen Gadol use the chafino taken by the deceased Kohen Gadol? At this point, we have another dramatic use of brackets. The starred note on the side where we've written Tam Hasograyim, the reason for this, for the brackets here, is Toichen Hasograyim have a horeka lemachlokes Rav Papa Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua. We just saw a machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna. They their machlokes is in terms of how to answer the question that was raised by Rav Yeshua ben Levi. However, the issue that, let's say, the underlying issue that they were dealing with was the issue of Choyfein, Choyzer v'Choyfein. So can that be established? That is what takes place within the brackets. Hence, we're calling it the background for what they were saying. Acharei hasarayim, after these brackets, and the brackets you can see continue till the almost halfway down Amud Beis. After these brackets, Hagemora maschilo she'elo chadosha, the Gemara will start a new question. So that the use of these brackets, in our humble opinion, is invaluable. In other words, we've basically come to the end of the issue raised by Rabbi Shua ben Levi, namely, Chofan Chavero, Chofan Umeis, Mahu Shikonis Acher B'Chafinoso. How do you answer that question? So I'll tell you, you have Rav Papa's approach, and you've got Rav Huna Rav Yeshua's approach to his particular question. And that's it. You want to know the answer? It depends on the comments made by Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. As far as the factors that Rav Papa and Rav Huna were referring to, the issue of Chofein, V'chozer V'chofein, that is what's discussed now in the bracketed section. Afterwards, new topic. So, now we go into the brackets. The Abaye Laho, the question was raised. Chofein, Chozer V'chofein Elo. After the Kohen Gadol in the courtyard takes his hands full of incense from the incense supply, is there a second filling of his hands full in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Well, Toshma. Now the diamonds represent, as you can see on the sign under our Mivneh heading, Nisyonois Lifshoit HaSheelo Shebesoch HaSagrayim Yichoyfein Choyzer V'Chofein. These are attempts to answer the question in the brackets, is a second Chafina done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So this is the first attempt to answer that. Toshma kachoy somidosa. This is a quote from the Mishnah. It says, and thusly was its midah. My lav, does this not mean kishem shemidosa mibachutz, just like its practice, its nature was one of chafina in the courtyard, kach midosa mibifnim, so too is its characteristic or its procedure in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, namely Chozer V'Chofein. So if you accept this explanation of the Mishnah, Kachoy Semidosa means that it was done again, so that would answer the question, that Chofein, Chozer V'Chofein. And you would then take that fact and superimpose on the comments made by Rav Popo and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua just a few lines before this. The Gemara says, Loi, that's not what the Mishnah means, though. When the Mishnah says, Kachoy Samidasa, it doesn't mean, and thusly were its characteristics, that just like you did Chafin in the courtyard, you do it again, you do a filling up of hands full in the Kodesh HaGoshim. Dilma, rather what it might mean is, She'im Rotsa Lasus Mida. Mida here means a measure, as opposed to the use of the word Mida a moment ago as its characteristic or its procedure. Mida means a would be a noun referring to a measuring a vessel of measure, that instead of the Kohen Gadol taking an actual hands full from the Keturah supply, he could make a vessel that has that capacity and use it for scooping up the Keturahs from the original Keturah supply. Inami, another alternative explanation of the Mishnah is that when it says kachoy smidasa, the Mishnah is simply exhorting the Kohen Gadol shelo yechsar v'shelo yosir, that he shouldn't take too little nor take too much. What about chofein chozer v'chofein toshma? So we go back to another attempt to answer that, and this will be conclusive. You'll notice we have a framed section. We're at the top of Amud Beis, a framed section, and after reading this framed section, there is a small bracketed section within it, which we'll skip initially. After reading this, we will get an answer, a conclusive answer, that Chofein, Chozer V'Chofein. And if you use the markings, you can skip to the end of the end of this long bracketed section, the last line after the frame, and you can see there it says Shema Mino Chofein V'Chozer V'Chofein Shema Mino. That will be conclusive. So let's see the whole source that provides this answer. Ketzad, who else? We're reading at the top line of Lamed Beis. How does the Kohen Godol proceed with regard to the Chafino when he gets into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So as we know from previous learning, the Kohen Godol had walked into the inner sanctum, to the Holy of Holies, right hand holding a pan of coals, left hand holding a bowl with a handle, a bowl of incense. So what does he do? Now, after he places the pan of coals on the floor, he's holding the bowl of incense. Rashi adds more information to this, but for our purposes, this bowl has a long handle to it that extends to the area, we'll say, under his elbow, and so he can support this. Bowl using his elbow as well, and he holds the handle with the tips of his fingers, and he maneuvers the bowl. So that's what it is. Some say he uses his teeth, which is an interesting alternative possibility. We saw before that using the teeth to lower the pan of coals to the floor would be something unacceptable. You wouldn't do that in front of a mortal king, but here we're talking about something else. Umale begudloi, and the word gudlo means his thumbs. He uses his thumbs to move the kaf, this bozech. The word bozech on the top line, second last word line, is the same as the word kaf. This is the vessel holding the ketores. He uses his thumbs to maneuver, using his thumbs alongside the handle of the bowl, bringing the bowl itself to where his fingers are, so that you have the rim of the bozach holding the incense at the same level as his fingers. Umale begudloi, and he keeps pushing the bowl so that the edge of the bowl comes ad shemagas lebein atzilei yodav, until the handle of the bowl, the handle represents the opposite extreme, until that handle is now between his elbow and body, and he flips over. This is it's a very difficult activity. We'll see this pointed out later. But using his thumbs, he flips over the bozach or the kaf with its ketores contents into his cupped hands. Now we've dashed underline this because this is the main point. It says v'choizer u'machziru l'soy chafonav. This is what we said before. Choizer v'choifein. He flips over the bowl with its incense contents into his cupped hands, and now v'tzovra k'deshei ashona shoyelavoy. After the incense is in his cupped hands, he then piles the incense on the coals so that you have a rather dense pile of incense, causing the burning of the incense to take place slowly. Shihei ashana. The ashana is the smoke from the incense. Shohed delays lovo in its coming. Delay slow rising of the incense smoke. The Yeshromim, another version is mefazra, that the incense is actually scattered over the coals, not piled up on the coals, but scattered over the coals. Kedei shiashona mimaheres lavoi, in order for it to, mimaheres means quickly, so that the smoke will rise quickly, because you have a thin layer of incense at any given point on the coals, enabling it to get burnt quickly. Vizuhi, skipping these the brackets, skipping them, it says Vizuhi avoda kosha me avodos kosha shabamikdash. And this is one of the most difficult avodos of the difficult avodos in the Beis Hamikdash. We're acknowledging with this final reading of the text, we're acknowledging this as being one of several other difficult actions in the Beis Hamikdash. Now we go back to the bracketed section, and we read Vizuhi Avoda Kosha Shebemikdash. Now this reading suggests that the Chazor HaChafino, this second Chafino action, is the most difficult avoda, most difficult action in the Beis HaMikdash. So to this, the Gemara reacts, Zuhi Vesulo, but this is the only difficult act, and there are no others. Vaha Ika Malika, Voika Kamitsa. Is there not the action of Malikos, the method in which a bird sacrifice is slaughtered? It's slaughtered in a unique method called Malika, which is a very difficult thing to perform. And is there not the act of Kamitsa, which involves the taking of a handful of meal offering, making sure that there's no meal offering sticking out beyond his handful, and that involves some difficult finger maneuvering, especially when you're dealing with a baked type meal offering. Without getting into details, we've discussed this in previous Gemaras. That is also very difficult. Ella, so what was meant when it said that the chafina, the second stage of the chafina, is very difficult? What do you mean that it's the most difficult? Ella, zuhi avode kosher me'avodos kosher shebe mikdash. Rather, more accurately, we say it's one of the most difficult avodos, services, actions done in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, what do we see though from this source? Shma mina, we see from here chofein v'chozer v'chofein. Shma mina, that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim a second filling up of the hands did take place. Now that we know that, as we said earlier, you can take this information, that chofein v'chozer v'chofein. You take this information and you would then go back to Omer Aleph and present Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's question again of Chofanu Meis Marshi Kones Acher B'Chafina. So, when a Kohen Gadol who had done the Chafina does the replacement Kohen Gadol, is he able to use the deceased Kohen Gadol's Chafina? Well, according to Rav Papa, it depended on Chofen B'Chozer B'Chofen. Well, according to Rav Papa, if we now accept as a final point that there is chofein v'chozer v'chofein, so the fi Rav Papa, no need, or as the replacement Kohen Gadol can go in with the original Kohen Gadol's chafina. According to Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, no, since as we now establish chofein v'chozer v'chofein as a fact, being that that's what is, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua does not want the replacement Kohen Gadol to use the original Kohen Gadol's Chafina because it's going to be either too much or too little. We now turn to a new question in the Gemara. But up till this point, it can be said we were dealing with the dashed triangle that appeared on Mem Teslamet Aleph, namely Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question. All of this Gemara was of relevance to his original question. And as far as the answer to his question, that would be a machlokes, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, great Rabbi Yeshua. Before we continue, it's simply our hope that those who are you who are now listening to this shiur will be able to go back over the Gemara and in fact read the Gemara using Gemara markings, using our Shas Ozer, reading the Gemara straight through with understanding. We introduce another question, a new question, and that's what this the triangle represents. Again, we started the use of these triangles a number of dapim before all of these, a series of questions dealing with kmitza and chafina and Kohen Gadols that die in the middle, and here we continue. So on the side of the Gemara, under our No Sour topic heading, we've introduced the sukya, shochat umeis, a Kohen Gadol slaughtered his par and then died. Umeis Kohen Gadol. Ma'i shikones Kohen Gadol hasheni bedomo shel paro shel harishon. Can the replacement Kohen Gadol use the blood gathered by the first and now deceased Kohen Gadol? And we discussed this earlier, and here the Gemara focuses in on this as a question. It was presented in our previous sugya, as in fact we saw Rabbi Hanina taking a clear stand on this, holding par velo bedomo shapar, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying par vafilu bedomo shapar. So we saw this issue as a machlokes, but here the Gemara, and sometimes it happens not infrequently in the Shas, that things are would appear out of order. Here the Gemara is raising it as a question. So we turn to the Gemara. Text Ibaya Laho. Shochat Umes. Kohen Gadol slaughtered his par, was makabel the blood, gathered the blood, received the blood in a blood receiving vessel. Maushi Kones Acher B'damo. Can the replacement Kohen Gadol enter using that blood? And here again, it's time to refer to the pasuk. We have a star drawing your attention to the pasuk that said, "Bezois Yovo Aaron el Hakodesh." Bepar ben Boker lechatos, and Aaron shall enter the Holy of Holies with, and the literal translation is with a cow as his sin offering. Now we know that he doesn't go in to the Kodesh Goshen with an actual cow. He goes in with the blood of the cow. So the Gemara raised the question, that's namely, Ma hu shikonis achir bedomo. At this point, you see a bracketed section, and this bracketed section is very long. It takes you down a good few lines, almost 10 lines down, Nun Omed Aleph. The structure needs explanation. So we take a look at the double star bracket explanation, and we read. So we're reading in the margin of the Gemara, Hezber HaSograyim. So we tell you to look at Rashi on Daf Nun Amar Aleph, Dibor Maschil, V'Tepuk. And if you do that, you skip to Nun Amar Aleph, and you see the Rashi. The narrow lines, about 10 lines down in the narrow lines on Nun Amud Aleph, Rashi is a structural related Rashi, the Tepuk lay ba'ayon deboinon li'el. At that point, Rashi says that you could you based on, of course, the Gemara that says v'tepuk lay, referring to the question that was raised earlier. The question that was raised earlier is the question we are dealing with right now, back here on Mem Tesomet Beis, of Shachar Umeis Mao Shikonis Acher Bedomo. Well, the Al Korchin Ein Acher Nichnas Bishiftos. So we're reading the Rashi there on Nun Amar Aleph. It's obvious, the Gemara is going to try to say, it's obvious there's no question, it's obvious the Ein Acher Nichnas Bishiftos, that the replacement Kohen Gadol cannot use the blood of the cow of the deceased Kohen Gadol. It's an example of a sin offering. The par, the cow, was a sin offering. And there's a rule that a chatos, whose owner died, our Kohen Gadol was the owner of the first cow, the rule is that it becomes invalid. Chatas shemesu baleo, a chatas, a sin offering whose owner died. That animal, that sacrifice, is rendered invalid. So there's no room for even asking this question. The question here on Mem Tesomet Beis, where our triangle appears, namely, Shochat Umeis Mahu Shikones Acher Bedomo. The Kohen Gadol prepared his cow, gathered received the blood, and now the Kohen Gadol dies. Well, that's it. There's no question of can the replacement Kohen Gadol use that blood. The owner of this par, i.e. the Kohen Gadol who was bringing the par, which was a sin offering, he died. The owner died. When the owner of a sin offering dies, it's rendered invalid. Why then is the Gemara here on Mem Tes, Amud Beis, asking this question? So structurally, we have a question here on Mem Tes Omed Beis being asked. The Gemara on Daf Nun Omed Aleph will be telling you there's no room for asking this question.
Ah, but the question was asked, wasn't it?
So apparently there is a wrench that we can throw into that which the Gemara is going to be telling you on Nun Omer Aleph. Namely, the assumption that we're dealing here with a sin offering whose owner died is rendered invalid, is not the whole picture. And the Gemara, which unfortunately in the context of the Daf Yomi Shir that we are presenting, we're not going to be able to go through the entire sugya in one read-through, in one shot, because that would involve going all the way to Nun Omid Beis, but we have to tell you ahead of time that the nature of the Kohen Gadol's par sin offering doesn't fall under the standard rule of Chatas Shemesu Balea is rendered unfit. There is such a rule. Chatas Shemesu Balea is rendered unfit. That rule is true when you're dealing with a private sin offering. However, the cow brought by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur isn't merely or simply a private, personal Kohen Gadol sin offering. The rest of the Kohanim also are atoned for through this animal. That gives it a quasi-public status. We say quasi-public, that will have value, that classification of value, once you get to the end of that sugya on Daf Nun, Nun Omid Beis, you'll see the Gemara terms it a Katas HaShutfin. It's a jointly owned korban. It's not a public sin offering. And by the way, a public sin offering, the concept of the public dying does not exist. A public sin offering is always valid, namely because there's no issue of the owner dying. The Kohen Gadol's par offering it's a sin offering. It's a type of public sin offering. It's a chatas hashutfin. Therefore, with the death of the Kohen Gadol, since there are other Kohanim that are still benefiting from the par of the Kohen Gadol, even though the original Kohen Gadol dies, it, the sin offering, the par, is not rendered invalid. It's not rendered invalid on the basis of Chatas Shemesu Baleha. Okay, so even though we're kind of spoiling the fun and we're telling you that what the Gemara tries to do later on Daf Nun Omid Beis is really an unsuccessful attempt, by knowing that information ahead of time, we know that this is a good question. That Shochar Umeis, Mahu Shikones Acher Bedomo. The question, though, still needs to be asked. What will the issue be over here? Well, you have a Kohen Gadol that slaughtered his par and he died. Can the replacement Kohen Gadol use the blood of that first cow and not prepare a new cow? Now, what is the issue? Well, as we said before, we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Bezois yovo Aaron el Hakodesh bepar ben boker." The Kohen Gadol comes into the Kodesh Hakadoshim with a cow. Well, he's not coming in with a cow. He's coming in with the blood of a cow. And the question here is by using the blood that was received by the first Kohen Gadol, who's now deceased, is there still fulfillment of the pasuk on the part of the replacement Kohen Gadol by using the blood? Is the blood viewed as the par? Is the blood viewed as the cow? In the case of the original Kohen Gadol, so he brought his cow. He brought a cow. I know it's true he doesn't bring his cow into the Kohen Gadol. He brings the blood of his cow, but there was a real cow there. Here with the replacement Kohen Gadol, all his connection is to the blood. But is the blood considered as if he's connected to a real cow? So do we term the blood as a par? So now, with that having been said, we go to the Gemara. realizing that the brackets is to set off the bracketed section of Gemara, enabling you to see that after the Gemara raises the question initially, the Gemara will try, on Nun Amud Aleph, will try to challenge the question at its very core, trying to say that there's no room for even asking the question. At the end of the day, though, that means next shiur, at the end of the day, we will be saying there really is room for asking this question. So with that having been said, let's go through the Gemara. Ibayalo, we're at the triangle. Shocharu meis, mahu shikonis acher bedomoi. A Kohen Gadol slaughtered his cow offering. Then he, the Kohen Gadol, died. Can the replacement Kohen Gadol use the blood of the first of the blood of the cow of the first Kohen Gadol? Mi Amrinon, do we say, and here you have an O Dilma structured question, do we say it's an Aleph O Dilma base? Do we say Bepar? And the word Bepar you see is in quotation marks, is from the Pasuk that you see on the side of the Gemara, Bezois Yavu Aaron El Kodesh Bepar. Do we say that the word Bepar of the Pasuk is fulfilled Vafilu Bedomo Shopar? Is fulfilled even with the blood of the par. And if you say that, Vafilu Bedomo Shopar, if you say that, then the second Kohen Gadol, the replacement Kohen Gadol, can use it. Oy Dilma, or possibly Bepar, Velo Bedomo Shepar. That a Kohen Gadol who's going to go into the Kodesh Kodashim, he will have to be a Kohen Gadol that dealt with an actual live cow at some point, and the blood that he picks up from the deceased Kohen Gadol's cow is not going to be enough. Well, as far as this question of Bepar, Vafil Bedomo Shepar, there's quite a machlokas, quite a controversy, and we've underlined the names. Rabbi Chanina Omer Bepar Velo Bedomo Shepar, and contrasting with Rabbi Chanina, Reish Lakish Omar Bepar Vafilu Bedomo Shepar. And by the way, you can see we have a little arrow indicating Mem Tes Omen Aleph. This throws you back, it returns you to the Gemara that we had earlier today, where Rabbi Chanina had taken that very stand. Rabbi Chanina, it was clear to Rabbi Chanina, Bepar Velo Bedomo Shepar, as we had in our previous sukya. On the other hand, Reish Lakish argues, and we actually saw reference made to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi as well, that Bepar Vafilu Bedomo Shepar, that the par is represented by the blood alone. Rabbi Ami Omar, and Rabbi Ami will parallel Rabbi Chanina, hence we're using the same numbering system. Rabbi Ami Omar Bepar Velo Bedomo Shepar, Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha Omar Bepar Vafilu Bedomo Shepar. And you see here that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha parallel the Machlokis, Rabbi Chanina and Reish Lakish. Well, Esvei, Rabbi Ami, the Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha. Now, we have the use of diamonds with colored in tips, and if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that these colored tips appear in two different directions. On the side of under our Mivneh heading, we have the upper tip colored in Hoychocha Delo Nechshav Kebehema Atzma. This will be a proof in the direction of Rabbi Ami's approach. Rabbi Ami, who said Bepar Velo Bedomo Shepar, also like Rabbi Chanina, and when the diamond bottom tip is shaded in, that will be a proof in the opposite direction. Hoychocha de nechshav ka behemah, that the blood is considered like the behemah itself. So let's continue in the Gemara. A second wide line of Gemara. Esvei Rabbi Ami the Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha. Rabbi Ami raises a Tanaic source, and this source comes from the realm of Korban Pesach. And in the rules of Korban Pesach, we know that the Korban Pesach is eaten by a group of people. So there's a joining together of people to form a group. The joining together to being counted upon, to be counted amongst those eating a particular Korban Pesach can take place until the animal is slaughtered. And that's what the source says. Nimnin u'moshchin yedem, person can join up or withdraw from a group. Mimenu means from it, from the Korban Pesach. Ad she'ishochet, until it is slaughtered. So that the animal is considered the animal. In the case of the Korban Pesach, it's a sheep or a goat. It's considered as such. The Pesach says, Yim'ad habayis miyos miseh. The seh is the sheep. So it's called a sheep until it's slaughtered. Meaning, it's got to be alive in order to be considered a sheep. Ve'im Esau, if it is so like you, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, say that it would be called the sheep even after it's slaughtered, even after slaughtered, as long as you have the blood that's gathered in the vessel, well, ad shizrok mi bayale, the source should have said that people can join up or withdraw a group until the sprinkling of the Korban Pesach blood. But it doesn't say that. So this would show, like I hold, says Rav Ami, that the animal is considered the animal only while it's still alive. So Rav Yitzchak Nafcha answers, Shaini Hosam, the case of the Korban Pesach is different, because in that case there's an additional scriptural ruling. Shaini Hosam, there it is different. Dichtiv, the Posuk says, Miyois Miseh. The joining up or withdrawal from a group is based on miyos miseh. And the word miyos, you see the hey in that word? The hey can interchange with a ches. Michiyusa deseh. Only while the animal's chai is still actually alive. So in the case of the Korban Pesach, there its actual life is a binding factor. However, in the case of the par of the Kohen Gadol, you don't have the word miyos present. So there, the concept of it being considered a cow can extend even to a point after it has been slaughtered and you still have the blood. Mosiv Marzutra. Rav Marzutra raises a challenge to Rav Yitzchak's approach from the following source. The following source deals with something called a Peter Hamor. Peter Hamor is a firstborn donkey. A firstborn donkey has a certain level of sanctity until it is redeemed. The first, and this is a halacha that's special with regard to a Peter Hamor, a firstborn donkey. It is to be redeemed. How is it to be redeemed? So there are rules. And the Torah's, without getting into the details, because this is itself a whole discussion of Maseches Bechoros, how the redemption is to take place. But when you read the Psukim in the Torah describes its redemption, that the owner of the newborn donkey gives a sheep in its stead. He gives a sheep to the Kohen. And that will be the redemption of the Peter Hamor. That's general background. So now let's see the source. It says in this source, Ein poidin lo be'egel v'lo b'chaya. One should not attempt to redeem the firstborn donkey through giving a calf to a kohen, nor through giving an undomesticated animal, a chaya, because the pasuk says seh. A seh is a sheep. So don't attempt to give him a calf. Don't attempt to give him a deer. What else? V'lo b'shchuta. Don't give him a slaughtered sheep. V'lo b'treifa. V'lo b'kilayim. V'lo b'koi. Elo b'seh. Don't give him an animal whose organs have been disrupted. That's a treifa. Nor a mixed type animal of a mixed bred sheep goat animal. That's a kilayim. A koi is an animal that, though its parents might be sheep, it resembles a goat. All of these are disqualified. Elo b'seh, you have to give the kohen a seh. Now, Rashi points out, and he focuses us on the main point, which we try to do with the dashed underlining, v'lo b'shchuta. Notice we have a star in the Rashi, second line from the end of the Rashi column. In the Rashi says, Kotoni mias, it says, however, in this source, v'lo b'shchuta, you can't give the Kohen as the redemption of the firstborn donkey, you cannot give him a slaughtered sheep. Al mashchuta lav sehu. A slaughtered animal is not considered the original animal.
That is the point of the question that Marzutra is raising, so that you would see that Rav Ami's approach, as opposed to Rav Yitzchak's approach, is the more likely. The Gemara rejects the question. In other words, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha and company could answer, Shiny Hossam, the case of the redemption of a firstborn donkey is different. Diyolif se se mi Pesach. There's a word comparison, Gzera Shava, that connects the topic of redeeming firstborn donkey to the topic of Korban Pesach. And you will recall that in the topic of Korban Pesach, there you had a special Gzeres HaKosev, you had a special scriptural ruling that makes the animal's life a binding factor. That was Mios Miseh. There, everyone will acknowledge it would have to still be alive. Fine. That's in the case of the Korban Pesach, and now in the case of the Petach Hamor, but not so in the case of the cow of the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara asks, well, if you're telling me that the dinim, the laws of Petach Hamor, are inextricably related with the laws of Korban Pesach, then are you going to tell me that all the standards apply? And we know that's not the case. So let's see the question. If there, by Korban Pesach, there are additional restrictions, Zohar, Tam, Uben, Shana, Korban Pesach must be, first of all, a male animal. It must be blemish-free. It must be within a year of age. Af, Kan, Zohar, Tam, Uben, Shana. So too here, in the case of Pidyon Petach Hamor, does the sheep have to be a male sheep? Does it have to be blemish free? Does it have to be within a year? That's not true. We know that's not the case. So it would then seem that the answer you gave before, that we learned from the topic of Pesach to the topic of Pidyon Petach Hamor, isn't really so. The Gemara says it is so. However, as far as our leniency with regard to these requirements, Zohar, Tam, and Ben Shana, there's another Gzeiras HaKosav, there's another scriptural point, Tifteh, Tifteh, Reba. The word Tifteh appears numerous times in the context of the Pidyon Petach Hamor. Reba means including even things that are beyond the realm of the Korban Pesach. In other words, in the case of redemption of firstborn donkey, you're not restricted to it being a male, blemish-free, and within a year of age. The Gemara asks, E tifta tifta riba, if then the rules of Pidyon Petach Hamor are expansive, the word riba means inclusive of others, afilu kulunami, so then even include all the other things mentioned. Remember, we've talked about a calf, we talked about a shchuta, a slaughtered one. Why not include those as being reasonable forms of redeeming a firstborn donkey? So the Gemara says, well, if you want to then include everything, making it so unlike the Korban Pesach, well, im kein se mai ahanile, then what benefit would we have ever gained from the se gezeirah shava, comparing the Petach Hamor to the case of the Korban Pesach? So we have a what I like to call a push-pull scenario, or situation, between Korban Pesach and Pidyon Petach Hamor, where part of the Korban Pesach standards apply to Pidyon Petach Hamor, to redemption of firstborn donkey, and some of the standards do not apply. Whatever the case is, as far as we are concerned, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha and company, their approach of Bepar, Afilu Bedoma Shepar, remains intact. Eisvei, we're at the top of Nun Omer Aleph, and here the direction changes, where Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha takes the upper hand, and you can see this in the Gemara, Eisvei, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Rabbi Ami. He raises a question from a pasuk that says, V'hoitzi es kol hapar. Now, this pasuk, you have to know the timing of this pasuk. This pasuk is talking about a situation after a cow has been slaughtered. It's a type of cow offering. We don't have to get into the details. But you see that the word par is used in reference to an animal after it has been slaughtered. So this would support Rav Yitzchok Nafcha's approach that when the Pasuk says, in the case of the Kohen Gadol, the par, it can be a reference to the dam as well, to the blood as well. The Gemara says, no question. The purpose of this Pasuk of Ahotzias Kol HaPar is to tell me something else. It's Shiyotzi Es Kulo. And we look at Rashi at the top. Shiyotzi Es Kulo Tirutzo. First of all, Rashi is sensitive to the structure of the Gemara. Without Rashi, it wouldn't have been so obvious that this is an answer. You could have easily read the Gemara as reading the Pasuk Vehotzias Kol Apar and Shiyotzias Kulo as a continuation, but it's not. Rashi is very sensitive to structure, and this is a point that we here at Gemara Markings like to emphasize this as showing the basis of our marking system, that Rashi time and time again makes structural points. Rashi tells us that this is an answer. It's Rav Ami's response. Klomar, lav de'ikri par. The term, the appearance of the word par in this pasuk isn't saying that the slaughtered animal is also referred to as a par. Ela hochi klomar, rather the job, the role, the purpose, the goal of this pasuk is yotzi es kol hanishar mimeno. The pasuk was describing a type of offering whose, after the blood is received, the carcass is to be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk is telling us, take the entire carcass outside. We continue in the Gemara, and notice again, it's so amazing how Rashi is sensitive to structure. If you look at the next Rashi, this third line from the top, Rashi says, Ve'es parachatos, Kushyahu, and we dashed underline this in the Rashi to show that this is a structure Rashi. Rashi tells this represents a question, and that's why we have another diamond. And here again, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha is showing his point. The Pasuk says, Ve'es par hachatos, ve'es so'ir hachatos. And this Pasuk appears after blood sprinkling took place with regard to the Yom Kippur sacrifices, the Kohen Gadol's par, the Kohen Gadol's cow offering, and the Soyer HaChatos, and the Klal Yisrael sin offering. And once again, this pasuk appears after it has been slaughtered. And what the pasuk is saying, that after the animals have been slaughtered and their blood was sprinkled, the carcasses are taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. What do we see, though? What's the main point? The point is that even though the animal is not alive anymore, all that remains is its carcass, that's considered the animal. So, by the same token, the blood of a slaughtered animal can also be referred to as the animal. And then, that would prove Rav Yitzchok's point of view, par, when the Pasuk uses the term par, afilu bedamo shel par, the blood also represents the original animal. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa answers on the behalf of Rav Ami in defending his position that this Pasuk of es parachatos sor chatos of Yom Kippur is not a challenge. Because in this Pasuk, you know what? We're not referring to the blood, we're referring to the entire carcass. The or is the skin, the basar is the meat, berish is the waste that's contained within the animal's carcass. When the pasuk is referring to that, the kulei alma lo pligi, everyone will agree that the term par or so'ir can be used. That was never even a point of controversy. Ki pligi bedam. The argument between Rav Ami and Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, etc., and the other parties to this machlokas, their machlokas is regard to how do you look at the blood when that's all that you're focused on. And in our context, we're talking about a replacement Kohen Gadol carrying the blood gathered or collected by the deceased Kohen Gadol after slaughtering his cow. Mor sovar dam ikri par, that would be Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha and company, they would say that it is considered the cow. Umar Sova, Rav Ami and company would say dam lo ikri par, that the blood is not called by the term par. And if the Pasuk insists on the Kohen Gadol entering the Kodesh HaKodashim Bepar Ben Bokor, so this replacement Kohen Gadol isn't fulfilling Par by bringing in just the blood when he didn't slaughter his own actual Par. Omar Rav Ashi, Mistabro Keman Omar Dam Ikri Par. Rav Ashi will support the Rav Yitzchok Nafcha approach that the blood is considered the Par Dichtiv. The Pasuk said, and here the Rav Ashi makes the point that we alluded to much earlier. The Pasuk says, Bezois Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh Bepar Ben Bokor. And thusly Aaron will enter the inner sanctum with a cow. Otu Bekarneo Mayale, does he bring in an actual cow by drawing its horns? Karneo, its horns? Elo Bedamo. All that Aaron carries into the inner sanctum is its blood. Vikori Le Par. And the Pasuk doesn't hesitate to use the word par, a cow. So this would show that the blood is the cow. They're interchangeable. The Idoch, well, what about Rabbi Ami and company? How do they look at the Pasuk? When the Pasuk says, Bezois Yovo Aaron al Kodesh Bepar Ben Bokor, and with this or thusly he will enter the inner sanctum with a cow, and all he's going in is with the blood, what it means is, Bema Huchsher Aaron Lovel al Kodesh. With what does Aaron become enabled to enter the inner sanctum? What enables him to enter the inner sanctum? Bepar ben bokor lechatos, when there was originally a cow that he slaughtered as a sin offering. So the Pasuk is making reference to the original element that enabled the process to take place, and that was, of course, there was an actual par. However, his entrance to the Kodesh HaKodashim with the blood, it's not to suggest that the blood is equal to a par per se. Now, as we said earlier, in the context of the Daf Yomi Shiurim, this would be a place that we'd have to stop, even though we're really in the middle of a sukkya. So, just to lead into the next sukkya, at this point the Gemara asks, and we saw this in the Rashi, that the question of Bepar Vafil B'domo Shepar shouldn't even be asked. And here, just to read a little bit, the Gemara says, V'tepuk lei dechata shemesu balehi. Why not establish the original issue as a non-question by virtue of the fact that you're dealing with a sin offering? The Par of the Kohen Gadol is a sin offering whose owner died. The Chata Shemesu Balea Lamisas, and we know that a sin offering whose owner died, if the animal itself is still alive, it is sent off to be killed, to die. It's disqualified. So being that that's the case, in the case of a Kohen Gadol who slaughtered his par, but the Kohen Gadol died, the replacement Kohen Gadol can't use the blood. As far as that replacement Kohen Gadol is concerned, you're dealing with blood that came from an animal whose owner died, and the blood is a blood of a korban chatos. It's a sin offering. The sin offering whose owner died. So this is totally disqualified. There's no room for even asking the question of how do you look at the dam? Is dam of the par vafil, that is par vafil b'domo shapar? The Gemara then will proceed, and you can see we're going to be using a house form that constantly changes position. This is an attempt to keep track. Is this really a challenge or not? And Amir Sashem, in the course of our next shiur, we will have to deal with this. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.